The Sportscast, June 17th, 2021. If you haven't yet, please subscribe in all our channels, twitch.tv, YouTube, and Apple Podcasts. And if you're on Apple Podcasts, please leave a rating and a review. It will help us out tremendously. And visit us on thesportscast.net, thesportscast.net, or you can download our app, The Sportscast, for iOS. Wow, European football, the European Championship has started this past week. It's been some excellent football and, of course, some bad news, some club football news. Sergio Ramos leaving Real Madrid as of today, and joining us all the way from Pennsylvania, Anthony Chapa, a young leg. Welcome back to the Sportscast.
Yeah, thanks for having me, man. Yeah, sad times. Honestly, I really wish that Ramos would have taken a few days so I didn't have to talk to you about it, because it's a very sensitive subject. He's my favorite player, so I'm very upset about this.
Yes, he is a protege at Madrid, been there for 16 seasons. He got let go. He was trying to renegotiate a contract with Madrid. He said that he never wanted to leave Real Madrid, and claimed he would have accepted the club's offer of a 1-year contract extension, but was told it had expired. Anthony, tell us what happened and your thoughts.
So, I mean, as a Madrid fan, we've seen this all before. We've seen great players leave. We've seen club legends leave. Look at Iker Casillas, Zinedine Zidane, Cristiano Ronaldo, and the last few have ended on pretty bad terms. It's at the point now where I know a lot of people are pointing at Perez, but I'm looking more towards the board. I feel like they have their own agenda, and I'm not saying Perez is a puppet, because that's Don Perez, the mafia boss, does whatever he wants, businessman, Galactico. So I'm not even going to try and blame Perez, because we owe him thanks for a lot of things, but this is just a huge miss by Real Madrid. The fact that Sergio Ramos, in front of all the trophies that he's won for Real Madrid, was just like, I never wanted to leave. Like, I tried to sign the contract. They said we were out of time for it. That is just absolutely ridiculous how in June you can already be done with Sergio Ramos, one of the most influential players in club history. He's got to be at least top five at this point with the amount of trophies, amount of just winning he's done there between La Decima and his last-minute winner. Just without Sergio Ramos, Real Madrid the last 10 years doesn't have the same identity, and it's just heartbreaking to see that our board has this much of an effect on the media and on how the players are doing it.
Now,
that being said, though,
yeah, go ahead.
Go ahead.
So, what do you think happened? Was it a money issue? Yes, I know that Sergio was going to be owed a lot of money if he was going to sign a new contract. Was it his age? Was it also his injuries towards the end of the season? Because he didn't play for weeks, especially during the championship tournaments. What do you think really happened?
So obviously it all comes down to money. He's going to be 34, or no, he is 34. He's going to be 35 next year. Real Madrid has a strict policy of not offering more than 1-year contracts to anyone over the age of 32. He wanted a 2-year contract because I think he was kind of like getting down to like, I want to retire on top type of deal. I want to end it at Madrid. And to me, it's just, it goes back to, I'm between hating his brother, the super agent that decided the deal that they got last summer wasn't good enough and he wanted more money, and the board just saying, screw it, let's just go buy more, which I can't get totally mad at the board, because that whole screw it, let's go buy more has brought us so much success and so many good players. But at the same time, we lose out on a legend like Sergio Ramos. We lose out on our club captain. Now Marcelo's our first choice captain. I think that's ridiculous. If they don't give the Benzema, I'm going to have a whole issue. Varane apparently might be renewing now as well, which is a little bit of good news in what is dark times in Madrid. I'm blaming the board and his brother, though, as far as why the deal didn't get done. I don't think Perez really had as much say, or Ramos had as much say. I know Ramos never really wanted to leave, so I think it was really just a battle between his brother trying to get him more money and, I guess, Perez and the board. But also, Ramos is making about $330,000 a week, so it's not like we weren't paying him well. He only had 3 renewals in the 16 years he was there, so he's been getting paid rather handsomely for a decent amount of time.
Not being selected for the national team either, and then getting let go of Madrid, has been a tough summer. But the question marks are floating around. You know, there's rumors of him joining Sevilla, PSG, possibly joining the Premier League. Man City has also been in that talk. What have you heard, and where do you think he should go?
So I know Ramos already came out and said Barcelona and Sevilla are absolute no's. He will not go there. I heard Man City's the favorite, but I see him going over to PSG. This whole deal of like, hey, let's just give him a shit ton of money. If I'm Ramos and I can't play for Real Madrid, I'm taking the biggest bag. So PSG and Man City to me are automatic favorites. I would rather he goes to PSG because I would rather buy a PSG jersey, get a cool Jordan jersey with Ramos on the back, rather than Man City. But as you know, Zach Steffen's a close friend of mine. I'm going out to Manchester next season. So if Ramos is on the team, maybe we can become boys. Maybe I get to meet him. I don't know. I'm not saying it's a win-win here because it's all a loss. I lost my favorite player, my club captain, the GOAT, in my opinion, as far as defenders go. But Man City or PSG would probably be my picks.
And the reason why Sevilla was rumored, because he's from that area, so his hometown. So, of course, that rumor is floating around. Of course, sometimes you go back to your hometown because you're kind of gearing towards retirement. Anthony, do you think he still has more left in the tank, or do you think he's on the decline?
Oh, he's definitely got more. So me being the biased Sergio Ramos fan that I am, I was like, I would just give him a five-year deal. What could it possibly hurt? When he's healthy, he's still one of the best center backs in the world. Granted, we didn't get to see that much this year because he wasn't healthy. But the year before that, he was our second leading goal scorer. He did everything. He led the best defense in Europe. He got Courtois the Golden Glove over Oblak, which is at this point unheard of for Jan Oblak. Dude has just been leading the league in clean sheets for the past decade, it feels like. So to me, Sergio Ramos is still right up there. If you don't have him in number one, he's at least top five center backs right now still. So I think it's a huge miss for us. But again, Real Madrid, always looking forward, always is going to be a business at the end of the day. And this is – I can't get that mad at them because there's a reason they won Club of the Century. There's a reason that they're always successful. They're always seen at the top. They're the pinnacle of European football. So you can't get mad at them. But at the same time, when stuff like this happens, it just sucks. And it's just kind of like – you don't see the light. Like, it's always darkest before the dawn. We're going to see some new signings come in. We're going to see the Galacticos shining in those white kits again. Ramos himself even said, this isn't goodbye because I'll definitely be back. And he said he would sign with Real Madrid for any amount at any time. So, I don't know.
Yeah, he said that statement. I'm not sure. Here in the States, you see players signing for a day and they retire for that team. Have you seen that in soccer as well, where they just signed up for a day and then they just retired at for that club?
Not really. I mean, they're not like signing them. They'll have them come in and like they'll walk around in the kit, like wave to the fans and like the farewell. But I've never seen anyone actually sign them. It's more like, yo, here's the jersey. Remember you used to wear this? We're not going to pay you to do this, but hey, thanks for filling the stadium again. We appreciate you. That's how I see, at least Madrid would probably do it.
So Anthony is saying that, Ramos is not ready for the MLS yet. So he's still going to stick in Europe for a few more years. I said that plurally because I actually do believe he has a lot left in the tank. Definitely one of the best CBs in Europe or in the world. So definitely see more. I love to see him in Man City, to be honest, as well. See him that light blue jersey. But, you know, obviously money talks. We'll see what happens. So Madrid right now with a center back minus a CB, are they going to sign a new center back or they're going to work with what they have right now?
Well, we did just get David Alba.
Oh, my bad. There you go.
The other one that we're rumored to be getting is Jules Koundé. He's a Sevilla boy. And, I mean, the buying center backs from Sevilla has worked out very well for us. We just had Sergio Ramos for 16 years. So I'm a big fan of that one as well. Other than that, they're talking about Vallejo coming back from loan and, like, possibly keeping him, or they would sell him and kind of put that towards whoever we're going to be replacing him with. I know Militao and Nacho are both cemented to stay and kind of, like, fight for the spot. And after the season I saw of Nacho and Militao, I'm excited about it. You add David Alba to the mix, and just you look at those four center back options, and they're all looking pretty solid. I don't think that they're going to go out of their way to buy another one. I think Jules Koundé is young enough where, like, we can mold him into something. He's French, so there's that connection with Raphael Varane, on top of David Alba being able to play, like, eight different positions. So,
the best,
I don't know. Any other signing, it's going to be Kylian Mbappe. There's no other option signing-wise besides Kylian Mbappe.
Yeah,
so.
Which is a very strong rumor. It could happen. I could definitely see Madrid pulling this off this summer. So we'll see how things coming up in the next couple of weeks. Before we move on from Real Madrid, I do have to ask you, Carlo Ancelotti got signed a few weeks ago. What were your thoughts? Are you happy with the signing, or you think they could have gone with someone better?
Oh, I love Mr. Ancelotti. You got to love the Mr. I mean, he brought us La Decima, and I think the funniest part about Ancelotti's appointment is when they asked Perez, because Perez just, like, praised him, like, yeah, we're so happy to have him back, and they're like, why'd you fire him in the first place? And he just goes, I don't know. And that's just the most Don Perez reply I've ever heard, where it's just like, because I could. I don't know. Zidane was coming. Like, he fired him to go pick up Rafa Benitez, which was absolutely insane to me at the time. But
which could coach
Zidane
Everton.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I love Ancelotti. I know he has a lot of love for Madrid. Even if you just look at him in his house, like, there's photos of La Decima and, like, just him and Ronaldo and Ramos and Bale holding the trophies and stuff. Luka Modric and Toni Kroos there. He has a good relationship with a lot of guys in our locker room, and he still plays beautiful attacking football, which is what we want to see. I'm literally just praying, give us Mbappe, and, like, we'll win you the Champions League. Give us Mbappe, we'll win the Champions League. Ancelotti knows what he's doing.
Should solve it going with the old guard. There was also rumors about Jose Mourinho. They were interested, but he took that Roma job really quick.
Thank God. Thank God. I mean, the people – and there was Madrid fans that were pushing for it. And I was like, am I going crazy? It was kind of like when Dwight Schrute for The Office was the interim manager. And then everyone was like, maybe Dwight could just be manager again. I was just like, am I going crazy? Did we forget what this dude did to our locker room? This guy won us one Copa del Rey and a league title in like 3 years and did nothing else besides ruin our team. And then Ancelotti came in and won the Champions League literally the next year. So just saying.
Love The Office. Hyperboles here. Definitely like one of the greatest shows of all time, just like Madrid, one of the best clubs in the world in history. Let's go into the Euros. It began this past week. Couple teams that I like so far, Anthony, is Italy, France. You can say Belgium, but I don't think they have the clutch for it. Overall, before we go into the groups, what are your thoughts so far?
It's been awesome. You know me, I'm a big gambler. At one point, it was just like all the favorites were just losing or not covering the spreads. And I called out Italy on the first game. I stand by my call out, even though they won 3-0. It did take you 70 minutes to score a goal. All I said was, they're the favorite. This isn't going to be easy. So Italy has been very impressive so far. The likes of Locatelli, the likes of Immobile finally showing up for the national team. It seems like things are coming together for them. France is a fucking wagon. Like, there's nothing else to say about France. They're just an absolute monster. I don't even think they played their best football. They didn't even look good against Germany, and they still took care of business. I mean, the offsides call kind of ruined it a little bit for me. But the Dutch, I'm torn between, like, the teams like France, the teams like England, the teams like the Dutch, where, like, it looks like they don't really have it the same. But I'm kind of thinking it like NBA-wise, where it's like, well, this is like the regular season. They know they're going to win. You get to the playoffs, and then you start trying. They get to the knockouts. Then you see the real football. That's when it's like life or death football. That's when I think France, England, I think Germany, if they make it out, or Portugal. I guess you can just – that's like kind of a iffy Portugal-Germany. And France, I think they're just going to take off in the knockouts, where you see like Italy and you see Belgium kind of beating up on people in the groups. They have easier groups, which we won't talk about to ruin Belgian and Italy fans' times right now, because I know they're on a very high note. They have super easy groups. But I don't know. I think once we get to the knockouts, that's when we're going to see some real football. I am looking forward to watching Portugal and Germany go at it, though, because I mean, that's going to be kind of the battle for second place.
Yeah, for sure. That Portugal-Germany game is going to be looming. Italy, Locatelli, a player that plays for Sassuolo, is getting interest from Juventus. This player might be like the first signing out of this Euros.
Honestly, props to Sassuolo for not taking any bids early, because this Euro is going to make them so much more money. It's not even going to be close. They're going to make way more money now. After the two goal performance, they were like comparing him. They were like, you realize he has more Euro goals than Del Piero already, right? And I was like, holy shit, really?
Wow.
Like, just they're throwing out some names where you're like, wow, okay, this guy's gonna be worth some money soon. So props to Sassuolo for being patient. That's my like low key Italian team, that they have a lot of like young guys that I have been kind of scouting. They're all fucking leaving now, which is why I can't commit to liking the team. Because, like, it's kind of like if you're an Oakland Athletics fan and you're like, wow, I really like this guy. And then halfway through the season, he's gone. So,
yeah, which
I am honestly just giving Sassuolo complete props.
Yeah, which I think Spain's biggest rivalry is Italy. How deep can this Italian team go? I mean, it feels like they can go to the final.
Yeah, I think if they don't make it to at least the semifinal, I'd be a little bit surprised. It all just depends mostly on the draw, because I think that a lot of people are forgetting that there's a couple third place spots as well. So we're still going to see some of these little dark horses get through. We're looking at like Wales, that seem like one of those teams that when you get to a national team, like a real competition, they can turn it on, even though their roster might not be as glimmering as some others. If Portugal or Germany can get that third place spot, because I think the third place spot, Portugal won the whole thing last time when they were in third, and they only had like 4 points after the group stages. So that third place spot's going to be huge. Italy, France, and I want to say England, but they look terrible against Croatia.
But it is Croatia, France, though. It's a good team.
At least semifinal, at least.
Yeah. Wales, Gareth Bale.
Oh, yeah, I know, but yeah. At the same time, Harry Kane was terrible. Like, that's your main dude. He was awful. I've literally never seen him play that bad. He couldn't complete any passes. Couldn't get any shots on net. They had to have Sterling score an ugly one just to get it. And no offense to Croatia, but that back line, I mean, not only do they have like a half-aging back line, but like they're just not very good. So I was expecting England to kind of run rampant on them and Croatia to control the midfield, and neither of those things happened, and it just got really ugly until my man Calvin Phillips played a dime into Sterling. So
yeah, and you know, keep in mind, yeah, Croatia is an older team with this tournament. They went to the final in the World Cup 3 years ago. it's been 3. So they do have substance, you can say. They might be that third place team, probably going as number two in that group. But we'll see if your man Modric can carry it along. Wales, Gareth Bale having a great tournament so far. Good assist, potentially going back to Madrid. What were your thoughts over Bale's performance so far?
I thought he looked great, and I had Wales to win and Bale to score. So when he blew that penalty to the 19th row, I'm not going to lie to you, I started talking a lot of crap on Bale, but he had an excellent game. It was really weird to see him just as a provider, though. He was just dishing in those chip balls, and my man found Ramsey on like 3 breakaways that were just absolute dimes. Put him on a platter. Ramsey, if he had any finishing ability at all, I know he did score one, but if he had any finishing ability at all, Wales would have ran through Turkey. It wouldn't have even been close. It would have been like 4-5-0.
What do you think is going to happen between Wales and Italy?
Italy's going to win. I think Italy, even with Italy playing like some of their like, I don't want to call them like worst players, because I personally would start Chiesa, I would start Verratti, but I think the players that haven't gotten a lot of tick yet are still very high level players, and they're better than most of the players on Wales. So I would still take Italy in that, just because Italy seems like a wagon right now. And I know Immobile, if he stops scoring, he probably won't score anymore. So I expect him to continue getting on the score sheet. I think he's on like four games in a row now. He scored for Italy just on the last few matches. So
Italy is.
I think Italy takes care of business.
Yeah, Italy is definitely on a roll. It's nice to win that last game, but of course, with 6 points, is enough sufficient to go on to the next round. Group B, Belgium beat Denmark 2-1. They had a short remembrance for Christian Eriksen, who suffered a cardiac arrest this past week. Belgium looking good. Lukaku becoming like the main player. Hazard, what are your thoughts over his performance so far?
I think it's hilarious. So, you know, I hate Hazard, right?
I think I kind of.
I love Thor.
Yeah. I got it from that. Yeah.
I love Thor. I've been saying for like maybe 3-4 years now that Thor is the better Hazard. So, Eden, I'm glad he came in, and like, good job. You played a layoff pass to Kevin De Bruyne, who made you look good. I think it's hilarious he didn't play the first game and he isn't even starting. Because in an interview right before Euro started, they were like, who do you think the best person for Belgium is going to be? He's like, probably me. And it's like, dude, you're not even starting anymore. Like, you're playing on a team with Lukaku, who just won MVP in Serie A and won the title, and Kevin De Bruyne, who just went to a Champions League final with Manchester City, but you're going to be the best player. You literally just had a two-goal season for Real Madrid, my guy. Like, I am just so out on Eden Hazard. I was hoping that he would honestly play well in this Euro just so we could sell him for more. Like, I was hoping he would just really perform well so we could just get rid of him. Because he is just a massive burden on the Real Madrid wallet. He makes, like, over 400K a week. It's disgusting.
But Madrid will sell him, right, eventually?
I don't know. I thought Ramos was going to get a contract extension, so what do I know?
We'll see what Florentino says. Group C, which you touch on, Netherlands. So far, we haven't seen the best. Obviously, they're lacking strikers. What do you think about this Netherlands group so far?
So I'm a huge fan of Memphis Depay. I wouldn't consider him necessarily a striker. He's more of like a center forward, kind of like number 10-ish. I honestly like him better out on the wing, so I would rather they just put like Weghorst or somebody up front to just hold the ball up and let Memphis Depay and Daniel Malen play off of them. Netherlands, I think that we still haven't seen their best football. Like I said, I think they're kind of like – they're just kind of like – they're pacing themselves. They got to get through the regular season and get to the knockouts. You got to get to the playoffs, you know. So I think Netherlands, we saw De Ligt come back. He looks solid even after injury. So he's returning well. And their group is terrible. I love Austria. I love how they play. I am Ukrainian, so, like, I try to rep them even though they didn't bring my man Lunin. So I'm a little disgusted by that one. You didn't bring your best goalkeeper, whatever, just because he's a Real Madrid player. Haters. But, I mean – North Macedonia has given everyone a lot of heat, too. So I think Netherlands, I think that they're going to play their backups. And I think we're either going to see Macedonia say, yo, we're getting at least one win to try and get, like, a third-place spot. Or Netherlands backups are going to be like, yeah, why aren't we playing? And they're going to run the score up. Like, I don't see it being a decent match. I see one team or the other running away with it. Probably Netherlands.
Yeah, Netherlands definitely a team that needs more spark. Group D, we touched on already with England, not seeing the best. Of course, they're playing against Croatia, so we'll see more of England. Maybe Rashford, maybe starting in place.
I hope Scotland beats them.
Now we know where.
I'd love to see them, just for the banter.
Now we'll see where they stand. Group E, Spain drawing with Sweden. Is that a worthy opponent for Spain to tie with?
No, but look at the garbage manager they got that brought no Real Madrid players. And now look, you can't score because you're starting Alvaro Morata up top. I think the funniest part about this Sweden-Spain game, besides the fact that Spain had over 80 possession and over 20 shots and didn't score a goal, I think the funniest part was on Twitter when David Villa was trending just because Morata sucked so bad wearing the exact same number as him. And they were just like, I mean, we'd rather have the 40-year-old David Villa than this guy. I've never seen Alvaro Morata look worse than when he did for the Spanish national team against Sweden. My man missed some absolute sitters. And I'm comparing this to Chelsea Morata. I'm comparing this to B-team Madrid Morata, Atletico Madrid Morata. This was the worst I've ever seen him. And what makes me even more sick is the fact that you have Luis Enrique watching this all happen, and it took him until, like, what, like the 75th minute until he finally put on Gerard Moreno, you know, the fourth leading goal scorer in La Liga this season. He doesn't bring Iago Aspas, doesn't bring Asensio, doesn't bring just so many names, and all he has is all these guys that can run really fast on the wing and create. Oh, are you having trouble scoring goals? Go figure. You know what it really is that Luis Enrique is coaching this like it's Barcelona, but he doesn't have Suarez or Messi to carry him. So that's why you see the high possession numbers and high chance creations and no goals.
And you're not the first Madrid fan who's told me that hey, you know, Luis Enrique is not the coach, not a good coach for this Spain team. So we'll see. Which Luis Enrique
don't make it out of the groups.
Which Luis Enrique is a Barcelona guy and also used to manage used to play for Spain as well and also manage Barcelona. So we'll see what happens. Portugal, France, Germany, Hungary, that's looking good. France is looking dominant, but, of course, we'll find out more with Portugal versus Germany, right?
Well, I think Germany got hooked up. I think when it comes to a round-robin tournament, you want your easiest game last. A lot of people are like, oh, you want it first, you know, get everyone ready. Like, no, I want to play the hardest competition first and be ready for anything. So when you start off against France, the best team in the competition – and then you follow that up with Portugal, Hungary should get smoked. Like, this is where you're like, all right, we got the results we needed. Now he's got to beat these guys, and we're in, type of deal. In my head, that's how it should work. Everyone should just beat the crap out of Hungary. I thought Portugal struggling, and then, like, the last 10 minutes, we were like, oh, there they are. They finally showed up. So my favorite part about that game as well was just, again, on Twitter, watching all the Ronaldo haters, like, oh, I can't even score against Hungary. And then they scored. They're like, whatever, at least Ronaldo didn't score, and then he scored a penalty. They're like, oh, Ronaldo. And then he scored that nasty combination, dragged the goalie. It was just all around, as far as like a Madrista and being a Messi hater, it was a fantastic game.
And also, the best part was that full stadium in Hungary. That was, oh my gosh, that was amazing. I've never seen a full stadium in a year and a half like that. So definitely looking forward towards the future games. Anthony, so before we head into predictions, who's been which Madrista player has performed the best so far in this tournament?
Has performed the best so far. Rafael Varane, masterclass against Germany. The dude made zero mistakes. I want to say Kroos or Benzema because I feel like they would be the most fun to watch, but it had to be Rafael Varane. Dude, I mean, just give him the armband at this point, Hugo Lloris. Why are you wearing it, Tottenham?
There you have it. All right, ready for predictions.
Let's do it.
Tonight, Brazil versus Peru. Who you got?
Brazil.
Sweden versus...
Probably
by how much?
I was going to say Brazil minus like 1.5.
Okay, but there you go. Going with the odds. Sweden versus Slovakia.
Honestly, I think I was talking a ton of crap on Slovakia too, but after watching them play and watching Sweden only have like 18% possession, I mean, you kind of got to go Slovakia. I think that the smart choice would be like a double chance or like to take somebody to like a draw. Like, if you could get Slovakia and a pick'em, whereas, like, it's a win, or if it draws, then you get your money back. That's kind of where I'm at with it. It's looking like it's going to be tight, but I'm leaning towards Slovakia. I feel like they're just kind of – they're going to carry that win that they had and just keep rolling with
it. That sounds pretty accurate prediction. Croatia versus Czech Republic.
Screw the Czech Republic. Let's go, Luka Modric. Croatia, take care of business.
Croatia with the first win of the tournament. Tomorrow, our Copa America Classic, Argentina versus Uruguay.
So Uruguay is my dark horse. I mean, granted, I think Brazil's going to win the whole thing, but I love Uruguay. I love Bentancur, Torreira, Fede Valverde, and then you got Suarez, Cavani up front. You got Jimenez in the back. I love their team. I wish they had a better goalkeeper. No offense to their goalie. I haven't watched a ton of film on him, so I could be completely wrong here. But that's just me saying, like, I wish I had a goalie that I knew could play with his feet and was just like a monster in the box type of deal, so that they didn't have to worry about that much defensively. Because outside of Jimenez, like, the only other defender I can name is Godin, who I don't even know if he's retired or not. So I won't mention him. But I love Uruguay. I'm hoping Argentina didn't look good either. They tied Chile. Messi's going to Messi, but I would take Uruguay in the spread because you know that Argentina is going to be favored. So if you can get Uruguay, even like plus a half, plus one, those are great result for me.
Yeah, a lot of Argentinian fans are telling me this is not the best squad, but I can see them limp into the final. But, you know, obviously things are kind of open. And, yes, Diego Godin plays for Cagliari in Italy.
Oh, the really racist team. Good.
There you go. And finally, Saturday. Yeah, go ahead.
I will never let Cagliari get away with that. That was some despicable stuff they did. So.
Yeah, a lot of crazy things happened in the Italian leagues. Saturday, Portugal versus Germany.
I'm so torn on this game. This is I need to see the lineup game. This is like.
Detail.
Because to me, Portugal, they didn't look good until they took out Diogo Jota and took out Bruno Fernandes, and then everything really started clicking. Bernardo Silva, I mean. And everything really just started clicking then in the last 10 minutes. So depending what the lineup is, like, I'm kind of leaning towards Germany right now. Germany, though, I don't know what they're going to do with their front either, because Kai Havertz was a ghost, and what their other options, Timo Werner. after this season. I don't know if you really want to see him up there. Leroy Sané came on and didn't really do anything, which you hate to see. I'm a big Leroy Sané fan as well, so I'm torn on that one. I'm leaning towards Germany, though, but if you give me a Portuguese lineup that I like, I'll probably switch over to Portugal.
Yeah, this German team, I mean, on paper looks like it's star heavy, but then yet again, they're not gelling, I guess, as like the previous German teams.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm excited to see what Hansi Flick's going to do with that team after this. As soon as they put the camera on low also, I immediately see three fingers up in his nose. I'm just like, dude, come on.
He did it. I know. He did it again. So many times. Unbelievable. Well, you know, I guess that's just the stuff you are used to doing it as Joachim Low. His last dance with Germany, so we'll see if he comes out with a win, but I don't see that happening, but we'll see what happens with this.
I wouldn't be mad if he choked his last chance.
Exactly. Poll question of the day on Twitter. Which sport has the best mascots, baseball, football, basketball, or hockey?
I feel like I want to go football. They have the cheerleaders and everything, too, around them. I feel like they have, like, a supporting cast around their mascots. So I'm going to go football.
Football is tied with baseball and hockey, and basketball got 0%.
Yikes. I didn't even know hockey had mascots.
Some of them do. Some of them do. It's not as visible as the other ones, but anyways. Vote on our twitter.com/thesportscast1. And Anthony Chapa, what is the best way to reach you for people to talk to you about Madrid's hopeful chances for next season?
You guys can follow me on Twitter at A Young Leg. That's A Young Leg. If you see a pineapple in a YL, that's me. Other than that, check me out on Twitch, twitch.tv, that's Young Leg. I'm going to be playing in the Barstool Game Time tournament here in about 30 minutes. So if you're listening to this tomorrow, I already won. It's over.
By the way, Memphis Depay to Barcelona. What are your thoughts? Is that a good pick for Barcelona?
I think it's a great pick for Barcelona. He's free. His manager is already Dutch. So you know that whole Dutch-Barcelona connection because of Cruyff. I hate that he's going. I'm a big fan of Memphis Depay, and if he goes to Barcelona, I'm going to have to hate him. So that sucks.
And will Ronaldo?
I love Depay, though.
And will Ronaldo stay at Juventus?
I have no idea. Absolutely no idea. Being a Madrid fan, you hear about Ronaldo leaving the team every single transfer window. So you can never tell what's real and what's not. Right now, he's focusing on playing with the Portuguese national team, and I'm sure a transfer is the last thing on his mind because he is Cristiano Ronaldo, and he can pretty much go wherever he wants. That being said, I hope he goes to PSG just because I want him to keep dominating different leagues. So I would love for him to win another just league title. And you know what's even better? We'll send Zidane over there, Ramos there, and Ronaldo, and I bet you they end up winning the Champions League.
Very strong possibility. Anyways, a lot of soccer going on this weekend, Copa America. And the Euros, and of course, Gold Cup coming soon. So, soccer never stops. And of course, we got the NBA playoffs this weekend. Anthony Chapa, I appreciate you coming on to the Sportscast.
Yeah, no problem, man. Thanks for having me.